do with it, but he took it and he molded it back up and he made it into a new vessel. And that's what God is trying to do with us. We messed up our lives. We were all born into a sinful life. And we had to get saved, and that's what God is saying, is that he's wanting to save us in every way in our lives and restore us and bring us into all that he has planned for our lives. And, you know, it's interesting. Our donut team, our coffee team out there this morning, they had these little donut holes. I usually get one, but the fast would not allow me to do that this morning. But, you know, I had a store over here on Fifth Street, and right beside it was a donut shop. And one time he come in and he said, well, we're going to start selling donut holes. And someone said, how do you sell a donut hole? And I always wondered what they did with that hole. And of course, you know, it was kind of a joke because they take that dough and they just do it like this, you know, and after they cut it, that little thing pops out. They make more donuts out of it, donut holes, whatever. But, you know, I was over at Marshall, Texas a few years ago, and there's a pottery place over there, Marshall Pottery. And I went through there, and I watched them make a vessel. And they take this ugly mud-looking stuff that you wouldn't want to put your hands in. But that potter takes it, and he puts it on this wheel. And then he takes it with his hands. And as he goes up and down, well, it can have those curves in it. It can come out to be a beautiful vase or whatever he's making. And that's the way that God is. He is the potter's hand that takes us and molds us and makes us and even repairs us. And when that is marred in his hand, well, he takes that and that ruined part and he remolds it and he puts his hand. Aren't you glad for the hand of God? Amen. Praise God. When I was 5 years old, my father was pastor over in Henderson and he began a ministry in the county jail. Now, he took me up there to sing. You couldn't do that today. You couldn't take a five-year-old to a county jail. But he did. And I was saying up there, there was a man that got saved and went on to prison, eventually got killed while he was in prison. But his letters to my father would always say, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be in this place, but one thing I do know, I'm still holding on to God's unchanging hand. You see, the hand of God is totally sufficient to mold us and make us into all that we need to be. This time last year, Pastor Philip said we were going to have a year of preparation. And it's been on our church news ever since. And Luke is gone to Wisconsin. Bless the cheesy guys. But, you know, I had to do the church news this week. And I looked at that and I hated to erase it. And I said, God, what is it going to be? And I don't know. They can change it. But here's what I felt in my spirit. That it's last year a year of preparation. This year it's a year of demonstration. From preparation, preparing for what? Well, for all that God has for the world and all its troubles, for where the church is going to be and troubled times, all of that. But a year of preparation for a year of demonstration. What is demonstration? Well, I looked it up in Strong's Concordance. It says giving evidence, showing proof. It's a manifestation. So we could say it's a year of evidence. It's a year of showing proof. It's a year of manifestation. It is that which we're going to see happen because of Jesus that we sang about this morning. And as I thought about that demonstration, I thought about our song, our worship time this morning, our worship Friday night, the desire confirmed in many people's lives this morning already to have a first Friday night of worship. You're off Friday anyway, aren't you? Okay, well, we can do it. And you know, it's not just Randy. We've got a youth worship team. We've got many worship teams. And we can have intercession and prayer and so on. So a demonstration through worship, a demonstration through discipleship, that we're becoming disciplined followers of Jesus, that we're taking the Word of God into our lives and making it a way of life, a discipleship, evidence of discipleship, evidence of evangelism, that we're going to have a demonstration of evangelism. Can you say amen? Can you say amen, Jason? We're going to have a demonstration of compassion ministry. Now, the Lord has laid something on Jason's heart, on my heart, and we've kind of done some investigation. And we want to have right alongside the Church of Living Hope a dream center where that we'll be doing compassion ministry, reaching out. We've already started. That's what Wednesday night supper, dinner of hope is all about. That's what it is when we're able to give things to people. That's what Hope at Christmas, where we were able to provide gifts for the inmate, Smith County Jail inmates, children, families. That's what compassion ministry is. But we're going to become part of an association of dream centers across the United States. And somebody's going to do it in Tyler. We might as well do it. Amen. And Jason is going to head it up. Amen, Jason? Okay, yes, he said yes. Y'all heard him. And so we want to be people that demonstrate the Christian life. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, the demonstration of the Christian life. Someone said, preach the gospel, if necessary, use words. What are they saying? They're saying that we need to demonstrate the Christian life. Not just talk about it, but demonstrate it. To let it live, be lived out. That's what the church is all about. It is to be a Jesus place. A place where the presence of God is here. Where that God is working. That He is saving. He is filling. He's baptizing. He's preparing people. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4. It says, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. No les hablé ni les prediqué con palabras sabias y elocuentes, sino con demostración del poder del Espíritu. How'd I do? Okay. Amen. That it works in English, Spanish, Romanian, whatever. Oh, we got Romanian missionaries back there too, and they're going to be sharing. They're going to be sharing in 2 weeks, right here, in Romanian. Yes, bine ați venit. Okay, but the Scripture says it's not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, and of power. Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us. In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, already this demonstration of the Christian life, He demonstrated it to us through His love, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He gave His life for us. While we were unlovable, unworthy, and yet He counted us worthy enough to give His life for us. The Scripture said, I'm captured by Your holy calling. She's saying, set me apart. I know You are drawing me to Yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray. Okay, we've got some first of the year serious things to do. Serious things to be involved in. And we want to look at what we need to do in our personal lives. This song said, set me apart. What does it mean to be set apart? Well, Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, I believe, answers that question. 9:23. Then He said to them all, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. You see, discipleship is a daily thing. In fact, it's an hourly thing. It's a first in the morning thing. It's a noonday thing. It's an evening thing. Discipleship. And this is a daily walk with the Lord. He says that we take up our cross daily and we follow Him. Living for Jesus is a life of following. He is the perfect model. He is the lead person. He is the one that we're giving our lives to. He's the ones that we're to follow, and we follow Him. And then the verse in 24, it says, for whosoever desires to save his life will lose it. If we could just recognize what the Scripture's saying here, that you try to live your own life. If you want to run your life, you will ruin your life. But if you if you live your life for Jesus, you will save your life. And it will be not only your life, but all of those that are following after you. Someone's following you. They really are. It's your children. It's your neighbors. It's those you go to school with. It's those that you work with. They're following you. And if you try to save your life, you will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. So being set apart means losing what we would say we own and giving it back to the Lord. He's the potter. We're the clay that he would make it. Then the scripture says, what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? So we look at what people are fighting for, what they're living their lives for, that it's useless. I mean, it has value. We need possessions. I have a vehicle out there. It's a pretty nice one. It was given to me, praise God. But it's something that took me to Mexico and back recently. It's something that is necessary. And so, this morning, the electricity was still on. The food was there that Charlotte prepared. It was a nice fried egg, I believe, wasn't it? Yes. And so it was there. But see, that costs some money. And so money in itself is not evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. But we recognize that if we're trying to profit ourselves, we're going to lose it. But if we give ourselves to the Lord, we're going to gain it. We're going to gain it. A few years ago, when Charlotte and I were in the business world here, we were able to buy a piece of property on Highway 155 and to build a nice two-story home there that many people looked like it is a little mansion on the hill out there. But as God began to change our lives, we saw we were moving in another direction, and that wasn't going to be part of it. And so we put it up for sale, and it sold. We were able to move out of there, and we were moving some of the toys. It was a few years ago. Jody had a little kitty car or something down the hill there. So we were down there just as the last day. We were picking up stuff out of the yard that the kids had left there and making sure that we got it all out. And I just put my arm around Charlotte, and I said, look on the hill. I said, we are so excited today to be walking away from this. I said, but that's what people are beating their brains out in this life trying to get. They're trying to get possessions. They're trying to be better than their neighbor. They're trying to do that. Now, why was it that we were excited? It's because God had put something else in our heart. Now, God is a giver. He's not a taker. And 30 minutes after we signed that contract, God gave us 186 acres of land in Lindale, Texas. And it's His. It's not mine. It's His. It belongs to the Lord. And we could gain the whole world and lose our own soul. What value would that be? Luke chapter 14, verse 25 says, now great multitudes went with Him, and He turned and said to them, if anyone comes to Me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be My disciple. You say you're to hate yourself? Look, you're of great value. You're worth something. God don't make no junk. He gave, you must be worth something because God gave His Son for you. You must be worth something because Jesus gave His life for you. The Holy Spirit is here to help you. And so it's not talking about insignificance and lack of value. It's talking about that you need to look at what your priorities are. And are we to hate mother and father? I really believe that what that means is that our love for God compared to that would be a hatred for anything else that would interfere. It would be that, of course, we're to take care of our children and love our wives. Love our wife, and that we are to take care of them. Yes, we are, and our mother, and even our brothers and sisters. Brothers, they're upstairs, aren't they? Love your sisters. Sisters, love your brothers. But it says your own life also. And if you don't do this, if you don't get set apart for the Master's use, then you cannot be His disciple, He says. And then He goes on. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? And so we're building. We're building for the Lord. Lest, after he's laid the foundation, not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him. So he says here, we're to deny ourselves. We're to be set apart. Deny ourselves. There's a difference between denial of self and self-denial. A lot of religions have self-denial. Islam has what do they call it in February? The Ramadan, where they don't eat. I was in prison there. I wasn't an inmate. I've done life in prison, but I was there as a chaplain. And one day I was watching in the cafeteria, and the Muslim group was all sitting there in the cafeteria. I said, "What are they doing? That's Ramadan. They're counting their minutes down. They're waiting till the sun goes down so they can eat." And so, you know, they had a form of self-denial. But denial of self means that we deal with the selfishness in our heart. We deal with that which is living for self, which is, I've got to please me. And instead of that, we replace it with the love of God that is shed abroad and is demonstrated in our hearts, that we would be able to have a life of living for God, giving our lives to him, walking with him, letting him be Lord. If he's not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. Denial of self, not just self-denial. Did you know that divorce has increased? And they tell me, the latest figures, is that the percentage of divorce in the church is greater than out of the church. Did you know that there would never be one divorce if couples would learn to deny themselves and to serve one another? Tom and Tina are going to do about a six-week course on Monday nights, and you're all invited to attend. It's 7 o'clock at Calvary Commission Auditorium. It's going to be on relationships. It's going to be on how to be not just a gentleman, but a gentleman. How to have good marriages, how to have good courtships, how to learn how to deal with men with women, women with men. And it's going to be there. You're invited to do that. You see, that's what they're going to be talking about, is denial of self. That you're going to deny yourself and take up the cross and follow him. It says to take up his cross daily. It says to follow him. Now, what is our cross? I struggled with this for many years because I thought I could just see one cross, and it was that Golgotha cross. It was the one that Jesus died on. And I couldn't understand that if he paid the price, if he died on the cross, then why did I have to have a cross? And then I had a revelation that I want to share with you this morning. It's in Luke chapter 22, verse 39. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. We were there just a few weeks ago. We were standing right there. And Jesus liked that place. It was a place that he had set apart. It's a place he'll come back to someday. He went to the Mount of Olives. His disciples followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." Jesus still tells us that. Pray that you will not enter into temptation. Jesus knew what was ahead. We don't know what's ahead in 2011, in 2011. We don't know what's ahead in that. I was thinking about just the 2011, and I thought about 011. That's how you call overseas. We don't know what's going to happen overseas. We don't know what's going to happen in our world, in our global community. He says, pray that you will not enter into temptation. We may be tested and tried beyond anything we've ever had before. Or we may just be blessed this year. I don't know. But he says, pray that you will not enter into temptation. And the other word for that is tribulation or trials. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. He knelt down and prayed. Did you know that Jesus prayed? And he said, Father, if it's your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Can we pray that today? Can we pray that for 2011? Not my will, but your will be done. Can we join Jesus in praying that prayer? Not my will, but your will be done. And then I believe that Jesus was human and divine. And as his humanity came forth, he said, Father, if it's your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. What cup was he talking about? He's talking about that cup of suffering. He knew the cross was ahead of him. He was really concerned that he wouldn't make it to the cross. He told them, don't tell anybody this, because he wanted to make sure that he was able to perform what he came to this earth for, what his purpose, what his plan was. But he said, can you take this away from me? And then immediately he said, nevertheless, and this was the spiritual part, this was the God part that came in, not my will, but yours be done. You see, the cross is a cross of obedience. The cross that we're to take up daily is a cross of obedience. If we can pledge ourselves in 2011 to say, Lord, I just want to obey you. Wherever you send me, I will go. Whatever you say, I will do. Whatever you tell me to speak, I will speak. Whatever you tell me to shut up, I'll shut up. I'll sit down. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. Not my will, but your will be done. Jesus sweat great drops of blood as he prayed that prayer that day. He was entering into a time where he was all alone. His disciples later all forsook him and fled. Not just Peter, but all of them forsook him and fled. And so it was a time of, it was a cup of pain. It was a time of isolation. And yet he was willing to say, I'll take this cup. I'll drink of it. I will take this. I will say, I'll pick up the cross. Before he ever had that wooden cross on that road to Calvary, he had already taken up the cross. He knew where he was going. He knew what was happening. They tell me that the paratroopers, that once they hook up, they're out the door, whether they want to or not. They can't stop at that point. That whenever that hook comes around, they're going out that door. They can't change their mind at that point. We see that's what this commitment is. It's a whatever. The youth like to say that, whatever. It's a whatever takes place. They're going to be able to say, not my will, but your will be done. You know, I've read the Bible through many times. I've started again yesterday, Genesis 1, 2, and 3, and today 4, 5, and 6. If you'll do three chapters in the Old Testament and one in the New every day, you'll get through before the end of the year. And it's getting God's Word into you early in the morning, late at night, whatever, and so on. But I don't know that I've ever really meditated on verse 43 before. I know it's been there. It's not something new. But it says, an angel appeared to him from heaven. The Father knew the pain he was going through. The Father knew what was getting ready to happen. It says, and this angel strengthened him. Strengthened him. Did you know that we have strength? The Lord, my strength. Through every battle, through every difficulty, through every illness, through every situation, the Lord is our strength, our right hand. The Lord. Our strength. Think about it. I mean, this is the Jesus that had pre-existence before the foundation of the world. This is the Jesus when they said, let us. Who's the us? The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our own image. That's the same one. And yet, here he was, having to leave the thrones of heaven to go down and be a man on this earth and take on the humanity, and even later to take on in his holiness, sinless life, every sin for us. This is the Jesus. And yet the Father knew he needed just a little bit more. And he sent an angel to strengthen him. I don't know. Maybe two or three times I felt like there was an angel around. I really did, because of situations that happened. And all of a sudden I couldn't find the person to thank and this type of thing. I think that. But just think about when maybe there wasn't a visible angel, but you know that God came to you. That he came to you and he strengthened you. Brothers, sisters, some of you, he strengthened you so you could do your time in prison. So you would not fail, you would not fall, you would not leave. He strengthened you. And that strength is for us today. That strength is for us today. It's the Holy Spirit anointing. The anointing and the strength of God are synonyms as far as I'm concerned. Because we cannot do ministry without his help. We cannot do preaching without an anointing. We cannot do pastoring without an anointing. We cannot live in this sinful world without an anointing. And we need that angel of God to come and strengthen us. And we have that. It's available. We just submit ourselves to the Lord and say, God, send that angel. Send that angel. I had an uncle that was in the military over in Sicily or somewhere like that, and he was a lieutenant. And they were swimming a channel, and he had his men go ahead of him, and he was the last one. Said there was a German machine gunner over there that suddenly appeared and kept misfiring all of his men. And said that the last person was there and they were supposed to reach down and get the person behind you and pick them up. And he was so scared he ran. And it left him alone with the gunner firing but misfiring every time. He said halfway across that as he was swimming, he picked up his hand and said, God, I'm yours. Take care of me. You see, it doesn't have to be long prayers to get the strength of the Lord. And there, God messed up that gunner's gun, and they got to safety. He said when they got into safety undercover, he blew the bank all to pieces. You see, what was that? It was God came on the scene at that exact time when he needed that anointing, when he needed that prayer, when he needed that answer. And it's for us today as well that when we come to that place, an angel from heaven can come and strengthen you. How do you get that? You get it around these altars. You get it in your private altar at home. You get it going down the road where that you've got some worship music on, and maybe all you can do is make a happy racket, not a joyful sound. But nobody's there, and so you just sing along with it, and heaven comes down, and glory fills your soul, and you have that wonderful time with the Lord, and you're strengthened. I sent a group of young people up to Mineola to have a service one night. And I had a store right up the street here, and I was working that night. And when they started back, they started worshiping and praising God in that Ford Club Wagon van of mine. They started worshiping and praising God. They pulled up on the parking lot, and one of the guys came and said, you've got to come and see this. And I went out there, and they were laid out in the Spirit all over that van. I don't know how the driver ever made it. They were laughing, they were crying, they were shouting. You see, the Holy Ghost had come down and it had been there in that van. They had that angel from heaven that came down, and he will do it for you. He will do it for me. We have to walk in obedience. Now, how do you get to that place? John chapter 12. This was kind of the first scripture that came into my spirit as I started preparing this message. And it says here that then they came to Philip, who was at Bethsaida of Galilee. I was there the other day. And asked him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. We wish to see Jesus. Can you say that this morning? We wish to see Jesus. Philip came and told Andrew. Andrew in turn and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answering them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you," listen to this, "unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." So what are we talking about? We're talking about dying to self. We're talking about dying to self. He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. And so, we're to be that seed that goes into the ground and dies to self, so that the life of Jesus may come forth. That's what water baptism is significant of. That we're laying down our lives, we're burying the old man, and we're coming forth to the new man, and we are allowing the Lord to put his life into us. Are you getting ready to be prepared for demonstration? You see, dying to self will produce an exponential growth. You're going to hear more about that. Some of you mathematicians know what that means. 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 times 2. But it'll produce an exponential growth. Romans 8:13 says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you will put to death the deeds of the body, and you will live." And so we've got to cooperate with the Lord in his work in our lives. We can't just fold our hands and say, "Okay, do it, Lord." He has allowed us to participate in the discipleship through obedience. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 and 10. "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience." So there's a reward for obedience. There is a consequence to disobedience. And it says that the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them, when that was your way of life, that you lived for yourselves. But now you yourselves are to put off all these things. Then it lists again: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. You say, "How do I do that?" Well, see, whatever is fed grows. And we are challenging everyone to do some fasting, at least the first 21 days of the year, to do some fasting. What is that? That's denial of self. I used to try to fast when I had the store down the street. After a while, the baby food even looked delicious. Yes, there's temptations. I had a dear lady that worked for me, and I don't know who, must have been the devil himself that always would tell her. But whenever I'd start fasting, she would get out of her car with a big chocolate pie and say, "Joe, look what I made you." Well, I think Charlotte ate it. But what do you do? You stop feeding the flesh. Whatever is fed is what grows, and whatever is starved will die. And so we stop feeding those things, and we start replacing it with self, with the denial of self. We start replacing it with the opposite of what we put into our flesh. We put it in. Now, you may say, "Well, you know, my uncle, he just had anger. My father had anger, and so I have anger. And so you just have to put up with me, and that's just the way I am. And I've got to be me." Do not lie one to another, since you've put off the old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Rick, I'm going to get to Galatians now. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. What do you replace that with? What do you replace the works of the flesh with? We need to have a right root replacement. Take out the old, put in the new. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. How does that come in? By the strengthening angel, by the Holy Spirit. Joy. Got a couple of joys here this morning, don't we? But joy, gozo, that you put in joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Peace, not friction and strife and words that hurt and injure and things you say to your children that they'll never forget. Long suffering. What is that? It means to suffer a long time. Kindness. Speak the truth in love. Well, I just got to say what I feel. What about the fruit of the Spirit? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Yes, men can be gentle too. Self-control. That's the whole thing. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, we will also walk in the Spirit. So what I leave with you this morning is a challenge to be different this year. A challenge to demonstrate the Christian life. To be able to have that life that will bring forth fruit. A demonstration that others can see. When they ask you the reason for the hope that's within you, that you can tell them that it's Jesus in you. That you'll have a countenance that says that there's life inside of you. You'll have a light about you in a dark world that will serve a great purpose and will give a witness to who Jesus is and what He's done in your life. It'll make others want to have what you have. It'll be a smoky glory that others will smell and they will want what you have. Well, Christmas is over, but I've got a gift for you this morning, at least for every family. And Charlotte's going to be back there at the end of the service, and she's going to pass out this little green thing about the color of our building out there. But one side calls dying to self. The other side says others may, you cannot. I didn't write it, but I found it, stole it, something. Anyway, I want to read the dying to self part, and then we're going to pray. Dying to self. When you are forgotten, are neglected, are purposely set at naught, and you don't sting and hurt with the insult or the oversight, but your heart is happy, being counted worthy to suffer for Christ, that is dying to self. When your good is evil spoken of, when your wishes are crossed, when your advice discarded, when your opinions are ridiculed, and you refuse to let anger arise in your heart or even defend yourself, but take it all in patient, loving silence, that is dying to self. When you lovingly and patiently bear any disorder, any irregularity, any unpunctuality, or any annoyance, when you stand face to face with waste, folly, extravagance, spiritual insensibility, and endure it as Jesus endured, that is dying to self. When you're content with any food, any offering, any climate, any society, any raiment, any interruption by the will of God, that is dying to self. When you never care to refer to yourself in conversation, or to record your own good works, or itch after commendations, when you can truly love to be unknown, that is dying to self. When you can see your brother prosper and have his needs met and can honestly rejoice with him in spirit and feel no envy or question God while your own needs are far greater and in desperate circumstances, that is dying to self. When you can receive correction and reproof from one of less stature than yourself and can humbly submit inwardly as well as outwardly, finding no rebellion or resentment rising up in your heart, that is dying to self. The author asked this question, are you dead yet? In these last days, the Spirit would bring us to the cross, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Philippians 3:10. Are you dead yet? Lord, as we come before You this morning, Lord, we thank You for Your word that is spoken. Lord, I pray that the things that You would want communicated will get deep into our own hearts this day, O Lord, as we prepare for a year, as we project to have a demonstration of the Christian life, as we desire our church to be a demonstration of You, living hope. We desire, O Lord, that You would work in our lives and mold us, lead us, guide us, walk beside us. Lord, we pray this morning that there would be some work of the Holy Spirit in all of our hearts, and that we would repent. We would receive You. We would replace that work of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, that You would call us to a life of living for You, not for ourselves, not in selfishness, but in loving and giving and caring, and being a demonstration of who You are. And Lord, we ask You this morning to let us enter into Your presence, and that in Your presence that our sin would be revealed, and in Your presence that we would repent, that we would be called unto You. Oh Lord, we pray. We pray, oh God. Use us, Lord. Fill us, Lord. Guide us. Lead us in all that You have for us in Jesus' name. Praise You, God. Hallelujah. I'm going to open the altars up. If God has touched your heart and you just need some personal time with the Lord before you leave, why don't you come forward this morning and let God mold you into His image. Put your life in His hands. Rest secure in His plan. Let the Lord touch you this day.
Separated until the veil was torn, the moment that hope was born and guilt was pardoned once and for all. Captivated, but no longer bound by chains, left at an empty grave, the sinner.
Hallelujah. Fill us, Lord. Fill us, Lord. Let the Lord fill you right now. Hallelujah to Jesus. You say there's no place for me. We'll make an altar where you're at. Oh Jesus, here we are. Oh Jesus, we are. Here we are, Lord. We call upon You this day, God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Praise You, God. Hallelujah. Prayer team, you can come and help me. Oh Jesus. Hallelujah to God. Oh Jesus. Oh my Jesus, Lord God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Here we are, Lord, in Your presence, seeking You this day, oh God. Oh Lord, that You can work with us. You can work in us, God. You can bring about change in us. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things become new. We are Yours, Lord. We are Yours, Lord. Lord, we want to take new steps for You. Steps for You, Jesus. Hallelujah to God. Praise Your name, God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be God, our Savior. Holy be to God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. praise you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Time has faded, but we see him face to face. Every doubt is erased. Forever we will worship the King. The reason we breathe is to sing of his glory. For all he has done, praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit in one. The reason we breathe is to sing of his glory. For all he has done, praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit in one. Sing with me now. Lift up your voice and lay his burden down. All of creation, sing with me now. Fill up the heavens, let his glory resound. All of creation, sing with me now. Lift up your voice and lay your burdens down. All of creation, sing with me now. Lift up your voice and lay your burdens down. All of creation,
blessed
sing
be God.
With
Hallelujah.
Me now.
Praise you, God.
Fill
Hallelujah.
Up the heavens, let his glory resound.
If you're here this morning and you want to have personal prayer for you, maybe it's a sickness or maybe it's a discouragement, you'll come and stand here. We have people ready to pray with you and to agree with you in prayer. Maybe you're burdened for a family member. Scripture says, if two will agree touching in one thing, it shall be done. We want to open this up for personal needs this morning.
Is to sing of his glory. For all he has done, praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit in one. The reason we breathe is to sing of his glory. Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit in one. And all of creation, sing with me now. Lift up your voice and lay your burdens down. All of creation, sing with me now. Fill up the heavens, let his glory resound. Let his glory resound. Let his glory resound. Let his glory resound. All of creation, sing with me now. Fill up the heavens, let his glory resound. All of